Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Numbers 29 on Through the Word, as we jump back into the seven annual feasts of Israel. Remember from last time that this is a look at God's calendar for the year and for the ages. We left off right in the middle, so let's do a little review. God gave the Israelites seven annual feasts, three in early spring, one in late spring, and three in the fall. Chapter 29 is the fall feasts, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember from chapter 28 that I told you three essentials to know about the feasts. First, the feasts kept the life of Israel centered on God. I told you last time that the feasts were effective. They were, unless the Israelites were just going through the motions, and it happened. Second, each feast looked to either the past or present to something that should not be forgotten. And third, each feast looked forward. They were prophetic of things to come, of God's big plan. Now, I should make this clear. The Old Testament does not actually spell out explicitly that these feasts are prophecy. The New Testament explains some of it, particularly as they point to Jesus. But there is some detective work in figuring all this out, sort of like following a trail of clues as in Indiana Jones or National Treasure. Those movies are made up, but this is the real deal. We know Bible prophecy is real because so many have been fulfilled already. Now, it's relatively easy to piece together prophecies that have already been fulfilled. That was the case for the first four feasts in springtime, all clearly fulfilled in Jesus' first coming. They even came to pass on the actual days of the year, so those are pretty clear. And if the first four were prophetic, you got to think the last three will be something. So the general theory is these three are future prophecy, the second coming of Jesus. Now, when it comes to future prophecy, there's a lot more to argue about. Not everyone agrees, and I myself am not the expert on prophecy. So I'll share what I've read from the teachers that I trust. You can do some more research as you choose. I should also point out that this chapter does not give you much explanation on the feasts. Numbers 28 and 29 are instructions for the offerings to be made. And the reading is not very exciting, but they do give us a good outline, and I'll fill in the explanations. Chapter 29 is the fall feasts. Remember that the three spring feasts began in month 1, about March-April for us. Then Pentecost was 50 days later, about May-June, and then there was a wait of 4 months before the next feast. In the same way, there's been a long wait between Jesus' first coming and his second. The fall feasts begin in the 7th Jewish month, about September-October for us. Let's start in at verse 1. On the first day of the 7th month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. It is a day for you to sound the trumpets. So feast number 5 is the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah. Jews celebrate Rosh Hashanah today as a New Year's Day because their civil calendar starts that day. I know, too many calendars to keep track. But looking back, the Feast of Trumpets commemorates the two silver trumpets which were sounded for Israel during their wilderness journey. Numbers 10 has some detail. The two trumpets were sounded for three reasons: to gather the people, to move the people on, and to sound a battle alarm. Looking forward, what could the trumpets picture? Just two times in the Bible, a trumpet sound is attributed to God. The first was at Mount Sinai when the law was given. The second and last trumpet is sounded at the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven, with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The word rapture literally means caught up. I believe the rapture is the start of the end times clock, just as the Feast of Trumpets is the start of the fall feasts. Now, Jews today celebrate Rosh Hashanah as a gathering to repent of sins. It begins a time of soul-searching and repentance, leading up to the next feast, just 9 days later. Verse 7, on the 10th day of this 7th month, hold a sacred assembly. You must deny yourselves and do no work. This is the holiest day of the year for Jews, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Atonement means getting right with God, covering sin. If you've ever had a serious sin come between you and a friend, between you and a husband or wife, and a wall went up that nothing could breach, and you just wished you could find that one thing to make it right, atonement is that one thing. Atonement is really at-one-ment with God, making it right again. Looking back, the Day of Atonement was a day of fasting and no work. Details are in Leviticus 16. All of the sins of the people were confessed and placed onto a scapegoat. The high priest entered the holiest of holies on this day only to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat and find mercy for the people. Looking forward, I believe Yom Kippur pictures the tribulation. The Day of Atonement was a time of affliction, of deep soul-searching and confession to God to get right again. The tribulation will put the world, and especially the Jews, into some serious soul-searching. 7 years of judgment, and many will be saved. God will call his people back to their Messiah. According to Jewish tradition, Yom Kippur is the day when God decides the fate of every human being. Good day for soul-searching indeed. The seventh and final feast is in verse 12. On the 15th day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. Celebrate a festival to the Lord for 7 days. So 5 days after the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles begins, Sukkot, a full week of celebration. This one is fun. Tabernacles refers to tents, as in camping. Your Bible might say booths. During the feast, Jewish families leave the house to live in tents for a week, to remember that they all lived in tents for 40 years in the desert. There were lessons learned in the desert wandering, lessons about God's faithfulness, about learning to trust God, lessons that should not be forgotten. So campfire stories while living in a tent for a week was a great time to pass those lessons on to the next generation. Looking forward, some believe the Feast of Tabernacles points to the millennium, 1,000 years of the reign of Jesus, the world set right. In the millennium, we will be living in our new bodies, a permanent home for our souls. But we will remember the days in this world, back when we lived in these temporary tents that we call a body. We will look back and remember how God was faithful to provide for us. Though the tents are not ideal, God leads us through. The big clue on this one is Zechariah 14:16, a prophecy of the millennium. And it tells us that everyone who is left of all the nations shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, how cool is that? The feast in the millennium. So that's the seven feasts and the seven big events in God's big plan. Passover, Jesus' death, unleavened bread, burial, first fruits, resurrection, Pentecost, birth of the church. We had a long season. And then trumpets, the rapture, atonement, tribulation, and tabernacles, the millennium. Want to hear it again? Hit the rewind button.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.